Lord God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And pray now for that same Spirit to be at work in our hearts and minds, that we might know your goodness, your leading, your freedom, your life, your glory. Amen. Well, throughout this Jubilee weekend, many people have reflected on the changes, the interest, the steadfastness of Her Majesty the Queen. We're told that she loves the beauty and power of the English language. The Queen is called the King James translation of the Bible, a masterpiece of English prose. Her worldview has been formed through an understanding of God revealed in Christ, a path of service with God's help. And as we gather on this Feast of Pentecost, we too consider the power of the words of Scripture and the call of God to each one of us to live the lives He has called us to. I don't think any of us are in the order of succession. You're expecting a call-up to be the next in line to the throne. But actually, each one of us has a call on our lives, and it is a call of God. So we'll think today about freedom, life, confidence, and glory. Our newspapers, blogs, television reports often draw our attention to the issue of freedom, be that free speech, freedom fighters, or religious freedom. And whilst we might think that we live in the free world, we're acutely aware of those things which take away our power of choice. We notice when our plans are constrained by lack of money, when our voice is drowned out because of our lack of power, when there seems to be little hope because of past choices, then we don't feel free. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he is working hard to inspire, rebuke, and challenge a church family that is often disagreeing with one another, and to remind them of the glorious hope they have in Christ. In chapter 3, we read, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The freedom that is made known by the saving power of Christ is the freedom to walk in the way intended by God. Freedom in Christ is not license to do as we please. Rather, it is a call to live in the reality of new hope and new life. We are made free as we discover that Jesus came to bring life, and life in all its fullness. So here in 2 Corinthians 3, we see where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life, confidence, glory, and we'll come back to think some more about freedom. If you look at the beginning of chapter 3, before where we started reading today, Paul is outlining how rather than coming to them with letters of recommendation, like a courtier would, being introduced to the Queen for the first time, rather than a letter, papers proving himself, he has the Corinthian church. He has a group of people. They are his living letter. So the Spirit at work in and through him has brought the gospel to their ears and opened their hearts. The church, that body of believers, is a letter written by Christ through the power of the Spirit. Not the effort of stone tablets of legal obedience of the old covenant, not even with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, they are written. The body of believers in Corinth, even with their problems and divisions, even in their struggles, are a witness to the gospel. There's been a work of transformation in them. They stand in a new covenant, a new relationship with the living God. And this is a sign to all those who might question Paul's apostolic ministry, and would surely be a sign to the city too. If Paul was writing to us, could he write, St. George's, you yourselves are a living letter of recommendation for gospel ministry. You are a letter from Christ, written with the Spirit of the living God. There is life in Christ. There is also confidence. Now, the phrase, a vote of no confidence, has been in our newspapers and TV reports again recently. Expressions of dissatisfaction with a leader, with a direction. Confidence, doesn't it, speaks of trust, of reliance, of dependability. So rather than Christian confidence being based on popular opinion or a vote, Christian confidence is based on what Christ has done. So Paul can write in verse 4 of chapter 3, such confidence we have through Christ before God. It is the confidence that was based on what God has done. Now, if our confidence of our relationship with God and our standing with God was based on our own ability, either to keep God's laws or to always do what's right, well, we'd fail. We'd all fail. But the Spirit brings life and hope and confidence, assures us of what Christ has done for us. Perhaps you're someone who feels that constantly you're just not quite good enough for this whole Christianity thing. Everyone else, as you look around on a Sunday morning, seems to have everything sewn up. Allow the Spirit to encourage you this morning and realize that actually we all need encouraging. It's not self-confidence that is the mark of the kingdom of God. Rather, it is his confidence in Christ and what he has done. And the Spirit of the Lord brings that confidence to us in our identity, assures us of who we are. In Romans 8:16, we read, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Or as the Message paraphrase puts it of that verse, God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, Father and children. This is the picture that Paul wants to paint. This is only possible because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We read back in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 3, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The law, the Old Testament law, served to point out the places where people failed. The Spirit does not dispense with a right way of living, but rescues from condemnation and brings glory. So there is glory. We were in Madrid last weekend. It was 31 degrees and sunny, so I'm trying to adjust to the temperatures in Poynton. And the city was exuberant with the joy of Real Madrid beating Liverpool. Apologies if you are a Liverpool fan. As they won the UEFA Champions League, the streets were noisy. There was great celebration. There was great joy. Some of the glory and the joy of the team was in a way reflected in the celebrations, in the faces, in the hearts of the supporters. Paul, rather randomly, we might think, in 2 Corinthians, takes us to the incident of the golden calf and the giving of the law to think about glory. He heard those words about Moses covering his face and thought, what on earth is that about? Well, it's about glory, but actually that is about fading glory. He says that the giving of the law for the second time in Exodus chapters 32 and 34 was accompanied by glory, that is, a sign of God's presence, his holiness, his otherness, his light. The giving of the law was accompanied by glory, and the people could not look upon Moses, for he had been close to God, and his face shone with that reflected glory. But that glory did not last. So rather than the people being disappointed as that glory faded away from Moses' face, he veiled his face. Paul says, "Will not the ministry of the Spirit have more glory than the giving of the law? For even that which was to come forever came with glory. The Spirit brings the presence of God into our very hearts and lives, and through us into our communities. This life-giving, affirming Spirit encourages boldness." There is glory. The transformed lives that come through the work of the Spirit are not to be kept in a lockable store in our minds or hearts marked private. Does our world catch a glimpse of the God of glory and the glory of God at work in our lives as individuals, as a church? The Old Testament people of God, despite their problems, had a reputation in the world. Other nations knew the mighty works of God, that he was at work in them. In the Queen's Christmas Day message in 2016, she spoke these words: "Billions of people now follow Christ's teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them because Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love." Pray this week that the Spirit would give you boldness to mention your faith at school, home, office, wherever you are, to make a difference. Maybe even as you share your experiences of a Jubilee Bank Holiday weekend, you might witness to the transforming power of God. And so we come back to freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, down in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 3. Doesn't mean that we're free to do whatever we choose, but that in God there is life, there is confidence, there is relationship with him, there's knowing his glory and his presence, there's freedom. Now, we can admit, or at least I can admit, that Christians don't often have a reputation of being fun-loving. Often that's based on media, literary, and comedy stereotypes. But brothers and sisters, those stereotypes exist for a reason. Back in the 14th century, Scottish barons sent a declaration to Pope John the 22nd. I don't think they were getting on very well. It contained this piece of wisdom. They said, "As a general rule, the freedom of any people can be judged by the volume of their laughter." I know that life is not always easy. It's not always the right time to be smiling. But we should be known as people who are full of joy and confidence in God, living in his freedom, free from condemnation, free from guilt, free from trying to earn our salvation, free from relying on ourselves, free to be who we really are. In Christ, we are free to be who we are meant to be, helped and encouraged by the Spirit. We are free to flourish in walking in God's ways. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, so where there is relationship with God through the merits and death of his Son, Jesus Christ, there is liberty, there is freedom. We are free to live the life that God has intended for us. No longer slaves to the way of sin and death, but alive in Christ and to Christ. And this freedom is not an opiate, not an escapist dream. It has motion and a destination. Look down at verse 18. We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. There in verse 18, we see the hope of the new heaven and new earth, where even more clearly we will see the glory of God, be known as his children, and reflect his beauty and truth as we rightly bear his image, that image that has been marred in us by sin and the fall. We have life in Christ through the Spirit. We have confidence in our identity in God, sealed by the Spirit. We behold the glory of God in the face of Christ and are reassured by the presence of God with us. We have freedom in Christ, for Christ has set us free, free to serve him without fear. Let us pray. Strengthen us, O Lord, with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Confirm and establish us with thy free and grace-filled Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge and true godliness. And fill us, O Lord, that we might live the lives that we are called to, and reflect your glory in a world that needs your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.